I feel like I need to have my game show voice on now after watching that. Oh, it was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Oh. Well, I hope you're all well. Happy Mother's Day. You can see we've got a bit of a theme happening here today. And, you know, as Julia said, I just wanted to acknowledge as I started that I do know that today can be hard for some. And if that's you, I just wanted to acknowledge you this morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak comfort and healing to wherever needs it. You know, but I also want to take this opportunity to celebrate and honour all of the incredible mums that we have here and the ones who have gone before us as well. You know, in particular, I'll take this chance while I've got a platform to shout out my mum, Catherine. You know, I'm really thankful for the wonderful, godly lady that she is. And there's lots of things that I love about my mum. And she's actually just moved back to New Zealand, which has been awesome. For the last 4 years, she's been living and working overseas in Tonga, which is a beautiful country, but it is not known for its great internet. And it wasn't until she was over there and, you know, I wasn't always able to easily just access her, did I really appreciate how much I took all of her knowledge for granted. You know, because I love a Google. You know, I'm of that generation. I love a Google. But I do not trust Google as much as I trust my mum. You know, and, you know, oh man, I've got people coming around for dinner. I'm trying to roast, you know, a leg of lamb and say, how hot do you have the oven, mum? And do you cover it for the whole time or like cover it for a bit and then take it off? At what point should I do that? And what do you, you know, when you put the spices on, what do you normally use? You know, the recipe says to do that, but do you agree? Do you think that's right? You know, or mum, can I video call you? Oliver's got a rash. And what do you think that looks like? And do you think I need to take him to the doctor? Or do you think I, you know, what did you normally stick on us, you know? Or this one I do use a lot, you know, I have this piece of music stuck in my head, and it goes like this. Na 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 na. I'm like, could you tell me what that is, please? You know, my mother actually is very qualified for that one. She has a music degree. She's a classically trained pianist. And so I grew up with a lot of classical music. And do you know how hard it is to Google search a piece of classical music? Because they are not known for their lyrics. And so I genuinely often call her up and say, I want to listen to this piece of music. What is it? And she's a real lifesaver. She's good at that. But basically, I ask my mum a lot of questions. She knows a lot of things, and it's not just facts or information that I ask her about. I also often ask for her advice. I really value her opinion on situations that I'm facing. And I know a lot of people appreciate the wisdom and insight that their mothers have. You know, and then a couple years ago, I became a mother myself. And I wondered if overnight I'd kind of grow that you know, that mother's intuition and just abound in wisdom all of a sudden. And let me tell you, what I actually discovered is that I had no idea how much I did not know until I became a parent. But do you know who thinks that I know a lot? My kids. You know, my kids basically think I know pretty much everything. You know, and to be fair, they are only young still. You know, everything is new to them, so there is a lot of knowledge that I do hold that they don't. And there's a funny comedian who does a clip about parenting, and it's a mother talking about her journey as a parent. And she talks about how, you know, when kids are small, they don't have a lot to add to the conversation. You know, she says, because everything they know, you already know. And if you've had some of those sort of repetitive conversations with a two-year-old, then you might know kind of where she's coming from. But they do. You know, my kids, they come to me because they think that I have the answers for all of their questions. You've never been asked so many questions. And they trust that I'll know what to do in any situation. Again, if you've got small kids, you've probably come across some situations. You're like, I don't know what to do. But they come to you and they trust that you're going to be the one who's going to give them the answers, who are going to tell them what to do. And you know, I've been thinking about the time that Jesus rebuked his disciples for shooing away some children that were being brought to him. And it's a story that's recorded in three of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But we'll read it from Mark this morning, from Mark 10. It says, one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads, and blessed them. You know, and it got me thinking about the sort of the utter trust and acceptance my kids have in me to provide answers. And I thought, you know, I think this might be what Jesus was talking about when he was saying that we need to receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child. You know, like the instinct of a child to immediately turn to their parents to provide the answers or offer insight or advice. You know, God is calling us and inviting us to have that kind of relationship with him. You know, we're to have that type of childlike trust and dependence. You know, those children who were brought to Jesus, they freely accepted his blessing. They didn't question if they deserved it. They didn't question if he was qualified to pronounce a blessing on them. They didn't sit there congratulating themselves on earning a blessing because of how good they were. You know, they accepted it and they trusted. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. You know, little kids, they lean on a parent's understanding almost completely. You know, they take their cues on how to respond to situations or new information from their parents. And this is the instruction that's given to us of how we should be responding in life. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The NLT translation puts it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You know, I think particularly as you get older, it's really hard to not lean on your own understanding. You know, we're wired to analyze every situation. And from experience, you know, God's understanding can sometimes feel miles away from our understanding of a situation. You know, the priorities of this world and the priorities of the kingdom of God are not the same. You know, and they don't always align. And things that make sense to our flesh and in the here and the now is not always the path that God is leading us down and calling us to. You know, when I read my Bible, I come across story after story, you know, where people are faced with situations and decisions. And instead of, you know, taking what I would consider to be a logical, well thought out, you know, even wise path, you know, they choose instead to listen to and trust God's understanding of the situation. You know, like, who saw the parting of the sea coming, you know? He led the people up to a dead end and was like, bleh. And I bet some of those people were being like, Moses, like, really? That was what? And then he walks into the ocean with just his stick. And I bet those people were going like, really? Right now we're being pursued and you're just going to wander into the ocean? You know, but they weren't aware of the conversation he was having, the instructions that he was receiving from God. You know, or conquering a city by walking around it and then yelling. Yeah, I feel like there's other better established ways to conquer cities, but maybe that was just my understanding of the situation. You know, or following instructions to go and help a man who you knew persecuted the Christians. I mean, really? That's the guy we're going to accept, that we're going to bring in, that we're going to forgive, we're going to have grace for? Like, that's the one you're going to have lead your church? You know, even, you know, us here as a church, we've been in a season of M3, you know, of giving, speaking about giving and finances. And when talking about not leaning on our own understanding, but seeking God in all we do, you know, this can be a great example. Because to the world, it makes no sense. You know, why would we give up our hard-earned money? You know, it makes no sense for us to sacrifice, to even go without in order to give. You know, the world would say, first look after you and yours, you know, and then if you have anything left, then maybe consider if you could give. where the pattern that we're taught in the scriptures is first to give to God the first fruits of all you earn, and he will provide what you need. You know, it seems counterintuitive, and it's hard, and it requires trust. In Matthew 6, 31, it says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, just like in the passage that we read in Proverbs, there's a promise here for us, but there's also an instruction. You know, the promise that God will provide. He knows what we need. He hasn't forgotten. He will provide. They will be added to you as well. But we're instructed to seek his kingdom first. You know, Proverbs put it as, seek his will in all you do. And so it is so critical that we are actively seeking God in all we do. You know, the enemy would seek to distract us and keep us busy so that we rush through life and make decisions without first seeking God. You know, but if we are not seeking God, then what we're going to do is we're going to fall back on our own understanding, and we're going to miss the fullness of what God has planned and purposed us for. You know, that is why we're instructed over and over again in the Bible to be vigilant, you know, to always pray on all occasions, you know, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to seek first God and his will. You know, when we're not actively seeking God, what we're going to end up doing is taking our own understanding of the situation. And we know that God has the full picture. We know that we only see in part, but God sees the whole thing. And he is the one that we need to put our trust in to lead us, to get us to where it is that he has planned and purposed. Yeah. Does anybody here enjoy stories?
Yes.
Yeah? I love a good film or a book. You know, me and Jeremiah do have quite different tastes. However, you know, he enjoys stories with good suspense, you know, maybe like a plot twist at the end. You don't see it coming. Whereas me, I'm happy with a good, lovely, predictable, feel-good number. You know who the goodies are. You know who the baddies are. You know what's going to happen. And it's not just books or films for me, you know, where I love a good predictable ending. Anybody here into sports? I know there's a few here who, you know, love to watch some sport. I love to watch the odd sport game. Currently, the ANZ Netball Championships is on, for those who like netball. And me and Jeremiah, we like to watch the games together. But with the timing of them, often we actually end up watching them on replay together. And we were doing this last week, and it got to the final quarter, and it was tense. Like, it was a tense game. It was neck and neck. The lead kept swinging one way and then the other. And halfway through that final quarter, because he knows me, he looked over at me, and he said, "You've already looked up the final score, haven't you?" And I had to go, "Yes, yes, I have." And to Jeremiah, that makes absolutely no sense. He was like, "Why would you do that?" You know, but for me, knowing how it's going to end allows me to enjoy the journey to get there without any of the anxiety of the unknown outcome. I find it too stressful. I like to know where it is that it's going. I can set my expectations, then I can relax into the ride knowing where it's heading. You know, and for me, my journey into motherhood and life in general has been the same. You know, I may not know exactly what twists and turns the journey is going to take. And let me tell you, I've been blindsided several times, you know, surprised by things. Some people who know some of my story are like, "Yeah." But like I said, I have found just so how much there is that I don't know, you know? But what I do know is that I can trust God. You know, I know the hope that I carry of the victory which is assured through Jesus. I know what's going to happen at the end. I know where my story is going ultimately, which allows me to be able to enjoy the journey, to relax into it. You know, and we have that promise that when we seek God, He will answer. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will provide for us. You know, we're going to have a song sung for us shortly. And the bridge of it says this. It says, "Set my heart on fire and let it burn away the fear of what I don't know. I don't need the answers because I trust the one who's watching over my soul. He won't let go. Set my heart on fire, let it burn away the fear of what I don't know. No, I don't need the answers because I trust the one who's watching over my soul." You know, there are so many things in this life that we just don't know. I'm sure all of you can think of situations in your own lives where you go, I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I don't know where it's going to, you know, how God is possibly going to use that. But it becomes even more critical then to hold on to what we do know, or more importantly, who we know. Yeah. You know, Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And this is a scripture that I meditate on often, because it's a reminder to me in the midst of the chaos of life of what I do know. And it helps me to pull my focus back off my fears, off my worries, off my distractions, off my own understanding of things or lack thereof. Because what I do know is that I can trust God. Okay, team, you can come back up. You know, and when we choose to submit to Him, He will make our paths straight. You know, we can have the ultimate victory over sin and death through Jesus. You know, and one day we will stand in eternity and our hope will be made complete. Yeah. And so really, my prayer this morning, wherever you find yourself is that you would know, you know, you would know God's voice as it calls you. You would know peace in the midst of all your circumstances. You would know what it means to let go of fear and rest in God. Be still and know that I am God. He has not forgotten. He is not, you know, lacking understanding of what's happening. He knows everything. He knows what has happened. He knows what is to come still. We are to trust in God, to lean not on our understanding, but give Him space, seek Him first in all we do so that He is able to guide our paths, to lead us through. So I invite you to sit here as the team sings over us this morning, sings that song, you know, to seek God, be still in His presence this morning, and to know, to let go of those things that you don't know, that you can't control, and to rest fully in the One who does. So I'd love you just to, sit this morning, and Lord, we just say, we are here. Our arms are open, Lord. Would you remind us again of who you are? Would you allow us to be still in your presence, to know that you are God?